Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success is to interview people who are making a difference in the world. And we're going to explore many different and important aspects and areas of life, including business, physical, mental, relationships, disabilities, and many more important topics. Our broadcast team so far consists of outstanding people from both Canada and the U.S., including several Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructors and authors. My name is Tom Tuttle Cunningham, and I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor and regular contributor to their weekly e-zine. I recently spoke at the 2012 Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia, where I shared the stage with Deepak Chopra, who was the keynote speaker for that event. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since the age of 5. That's 44 years now. And I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced and been hospitalized about 40 times. I also stand about 5'1" due to the heavy daily doses of the oral steroid prednisone that I had to take to fight my arthritis. I'm also a senior research director for the Canadian Business Journal, which is a digital-only publication that is the official and only media partner with the Canadian Chamber of Commerce. You can find more about me at my website, which is tom2andtall.com. My guest today is the amazing John Robinson, and even though he hasn't even put this in his bio, John has no arms or legs. His official bio says, John Robinson is a motivational and inspirational speaker. In the past 2 years alone, John has been everywhere from Australia to the White House, discussing the obstacles he has overcome in his life. He has spoken to Fortune 500 companies as well as to high school students. And John can speak to audiences very well from his own life experiences about overcoming obstacles in life, business, or sales. John is the subject of a national documentary shown on public broadcasting stations titled Get Off Your Knees, The John Robinson Story. He has also authored the autobiography Get Off Your Knees, A Story of Faith, Courage, and Determination, published by Syracuse University Press. John has been married for over 15 years and has 3 children. And in 2001, he was selected to carry the Olympic torch as it passed through Albany, New York, on its way to Salt Lake City for the 2002 Olympic Games. John graduated from the Derryfield School in Manchester, New Hampshire, and Syracuse University in Syracuse, New York. He has lived in Toronto, Ontario, where I also live, Manchester, New Hampshire, where my sister lives, and Syracuse, New York, and now Albany, New York. Welcome to the show today, John.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you very much.
I have been telling my coworkers that I'm interviewing a guy with no arms and legs who doesn't even mention it in his biography. And my boss said, that's the type of guy you love. And I'm like, yes, definitely.
I never realized it wasn't in the bio until you just said it.
Yes.
I never think about it.
Yeah, and similar, my boss knows that, like, I never mention my arthritis. Maybe not never, but if I ever do, they know it's like, okay, better get him to a hospital or something. Something's wrong. So were you born that way, John?
Yep, I was born in 1968 in upstate New York, a congenital amputee. Which means, you know, I was born without the extension of my arms and my legs. My arms end at where your elbows are. No lower arm, no wrist, no hand, no fingers.
But so none of the functional parts.
Yeah, except, that, you know, I am blessed because, and I say this when I talk a lot, but I'm blessed because I do have the sensation of what it would be like to have hands. And so that, you know, that is... that is great. I mean, I have what would have been the nerve endings in there. So I can move them around as if I might have fingers. So it doesn't get to me too much, but I am blessed with that. My legs are different altogether. They're the lower part of your leg. So
yeah.
Foot facing forward, ankle, lower leg, and they just sort of were attached up near the hip area. No knee, no upper part. So makes for a short person, makes for an interesting life, but like I said, I am blessed and I wouldn't trade it with anybody.
Wow. And I'm 5'1" due to all the steroids I took for my arthritis, so I tower over you, I imagine.
You do.
And wow, been married for over 15 years. There's so many people, single people walking around, they got about 19 different excuses why they can't find a spouse. Your wife must be an extraordinarily, exceptionally amazing woman, and B, congratulations. That's not an easy thing to do for anybody.
Yeah, she's a great woman. You know, we met in Toronto. We met right in the beaches. We stayed together for the past 21 years. So that, you know, I'm lucky, you know, and thankful and grateful and all those words. So
wow.
You know, every day's a challenge, but it's a good challenge.
Now, when you were brought up, one of my heroes, Nick Wojcik, mentioned that, you know, his parents had no idea before he was born, back before ultrasounds, that he was going to be born like that. Is that similar to your parents' experience?
Yeah, they had no idea. I was my mother's first pregnancy, and so there was no frame of reference, you know, even as far as rolling around or movement. And because I was the first, you know, later she realized that I rolled an awful lot and sort of head to foot. But they had no idea. And so they, you know, it was quite a shock when I was born. They sort of knocked my mother out right away and brought my father in from the waiting room. You know, he had to put down his cigars and the sort of happy face and walked in, and I was screaming sort of for everybody to, they were holding me up naked in a cold room,
yeah.
And I was screaming, rightfully so, because it's cold.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, my dad said, hey, if anybody has a right to scream, you do. And, you know, the reality is, to look back on what they went through, it was very painful, I'm sure, but, you know, over a series of days, weeks, months, and years, you know, they realize, hey, this is what they've got, and they're blessed to have what they have, and, you know, I'm thankful for that, too.
Wow, and that's an amazing story about your dad, because I would have just passed out or been somewhat very angry.
Well, I think they had their moments. There's no doubt about it, and, you know, there's only they know the emotion that they went through, but they went through it, and they realized this is what we've got. We're going to turn the corner and move forward. And that's a good thing. And, you know, in a lot of ways, I was a lot like my mom mentally.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of iron will helps the two of us form a great relationship. And, you know, every boy looks up to his father. So that was also a plus.
Amazing. And one of the greatest blessings I had with my arthritis, since I had it since 5, is that my parents always let me do whatever other kids did. Now, I was never going to be an all-star hockey player or baseball player, but they let me do it. They knew that, yeah, okay, tomorrow, you know, you will be sore from your head to your toes. You won't be able to move, but as long as you realize that, you can make that trade-off, go out there, go nuts, and do the best you can. And so your parents, I gather, were like that as well?
Yes, absolutely. And they allowed me the freedom to, you know, to explore the world, go away to university, away from home, you know, make my own mistakes. And yet they were involved as well. I mean, they you know, early on I played T-ball, Little League Baseball, and that was great. But when they told my parents that I couldn't do that anymore, you know, then my my dad cut down some golf clubs for me, and I started playing golf right away. So, you know, I'm sure the pain was difficult, but they also realized, okay, here's pain, but here's an opportunity to move forward.
Amen, and that's kind of similar to myself. I had to give up every sport. The doctor said, you know, can't do this anymore, can't do that anymore, and this and that. So the last one I was able to play and played for a while was golf. Didn't get the shortened clubs. I think I got ladies' clubs, something like that. But my dad and I would go out. You know, I could hit the ball maybe 150 yards straight as an arrow. He'd be trudging through the bush, hitting it 300 yards into a bush somewhere. And so, you know, I didn't beat his score, but it was a nice way to get out with my dad. It was a sport I could still play with not too much challenge, although one time I hit the ball onto the lawn of a house that backed onto the golf course. I had not realized it was my rheumatologist's house. She was doing dishes or cooking and looked out her window, and she saw me on her lawn, and she had a little freak out. "You shouldn't be doing this and that." And then she started laughing, like, "Of course, Tom will be playing golf if he can." So very tremendous that, and probably, you know, so helpful to you to be brought up in that way, so that as you got older, you didn't have, you know, 92 excuses to get yourself out of pretty well anything. And of course, people would have understood your excuses, but being brought up in an environment and a family where it's like, do what you want, you can still do what you want, and let's do whatever we possibly can to make sure you can do whatever you want is
exactly
quite
right.
A blessing.
Exactly,
you know,
right.
I tell people one of the reasons I say amazing is that I had two amazing parents and two great sisters. One would sit at the end of the couch, and when I couldn't move head to toe, she'd just wait for me to, you know, "Can you get me an orange juice? Can you change the channel?" Back in the old days, obviously, of changing the channel. And so what a blessing, because, you know, a lot of people, there's a lot of single parents out there. There's a lot of fathers who might have just taken off and, like, good luck with you, to you. And so having that is a blessing that not everybody who's handicapped has.
Yep, you're right. You're absolutely right.
And so how did you, with the topics you gave me to talk about, one was business and small business, and so I'm thinking, wow, how does a guy with all those challenges get into business? Like, was that a difficult thing to think about? Because I know when I was growing up, my parents said, "Well, you better study accounting because you know, you're going to need an office job." And I did study that, and I worked at it for a while, but I realized I love entrepreneurialism and sales, but the choice of what to study in university was based on, well, you're going to need an office job, so let's find one that pays well.
Yeah, I similarly realized early on that I would need to make a little bit more money just to live. And, mm-hmm. you know, never once did I want to just collect Social Security. That was never a part of the plan. It was always, you know, to work. And that came from my parents. I mean, they really, you know, my mom said, you're going to move out when you grow up and be prepared for it. And, no, that was a good thing. So I went to university, studied television, radio, film, wanted very much to be in media, and enjoyed it a great deal. Worked. It took me 4 years to find a job. I mean, that was not fun. But once found a job, yeah, it was torture. And got married in the middle of years there. But once I found the job, I loved the job. Worked for 20 years in media, but my life took a big right-hand turn here about 5 months ago.
How about the end of March?
And 3 years ago.
Okay.
And that is the documentary and the autobiography came out about the same time. And once that happened, I became more public about my life. But I realized quickly I didn't want to just talk about me publicly. I wanted to advocate for others, and since I love media and wanted to still advocate, you know, that's when I created Our Ability, and I'm, you know, I'm really proud to sort of connect the dots and be able to do that. You know, at our core, we tell stories about other people with disabilities, and that is what's important to me.
And so true. So many people ask me, how can you always say amazing when people ask you how you're doing? And I tell them, listen, there are people way, way, way worse off than me. So me complaining or moaning about it is pretty selfish. And then also my mom goes to third world countries. She does medical missions where people line up at 6 a.m, 1,000 deep to see one doctor. And she told me, like, one guy she saw, his foot and leg completely pointed in the opposite direction. Whereas in Canada, when you have that, you just put the kids in a cast as the legs don't bow out like that. And so
right.
I was like, oh, my gosh. And then another thing, and I was going to ask you this as well, like, you lived in Toronto, and we have universal health care. The only thing I've ever paid for is the rental of my TV. What would make you decide that, well, I think I'll move to the U.S.?
That's a great question. You know, the reality is I wish we did have universal health care. It is something that bothers me, and I enjoyed it while I had it there. But I'm a U.S. citizen and proud of that. And so when Andrea and I got married, the decision was, do we live there or do we live here? I love Toronto, and, you know, it wouldn't have been a hard decision to stay in Toronto, but the way the immigration laws worked for us, one of us needed to be unemployed for a year, and one way or the other. And
right.
I had a job here ready for me, and it was easier for Andrea to go to school and be unemployed than it was for me to go to school and be unemployed. And that was the decision we made at the time. Right or wrong, I don't know. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but we've been blessed to have a great life here, and you know, we still get to see family in Ontario, too.
Amen, amen. Like, one of the things I had always wanted to do is work for Zig Ziglar. And so at one time, they said, yeah, we would love to have you work for us, but the insurance alone would be over $3,000 a month if our insurance company would take you. And I hadn't even started really good into all those different joint replacements I had. And so, like, gosh, it was so sad to not be able to make that happen. But it just seemed too logical on my part to stay in Canada, where I can go anytime to a doctor and hospital and not have to pay anything. So, simple decision, but it really affected some of the goals and dreams I had for my life.
Yeah, but it's a real decision. I mean, it's a decision that we made, and we decided what to do. And you know, I suppose we were in our 20s, early 20s. I suppose if the decision now, what would we do if we realized we had universal health care forever? I don't know. I don't know what we'd do in our 40s, but it was the decision we made then. We both have had a great life, so we can't complain about it. We do talk about,
yes.
You know, we do talk about maybe going back someday, but
absolutely,
it's not anytime soon.
Yeah, well, as you said, you love Toronto. It's still a great place. And, you know, you're doing so well now down there that I'm sure a lot of those health insurance challenges and having the money and that is less of an issue. But I'm very blessed to have been born in Canada. It's like I tell people, it's like winning a global lottery because I'm no nicer or kinder than the kid in the third world country where his leg points the other way. And so, you know, thank God I was born here, and sad that he is born there. So really, really tough. And you're talking about taking 4 years to find a job. It's difficult wherever you live with a handicap to find a job. And I was kind of chuckling in my head thinking, how do you apply for a job? Do you tell them in advance or in your cover letter at the very bottom, P.S., by the way, I have a somewhat of a little challenge, a bit of a disability. How did you even go about applying? And as you said, I must have been discouraging and sad for 4 years to look for a job.
Yeah, it was very, very difficult. And I get this question a lot, and this is a topic that we discuss a lot when I speak. There's no right or wrong answer to disclosure. It's a very personal decision that people make. And at the time when I was in my 20s, I didn't feel like I needed to disclose anything, that I felt the burden was on other people. And that is, you know, that's a young person's decision, I think, at times. But it was the decision that I made. I will tell you, it hurt me in many instances, because when I walked in, you know, the shock was enough that it was not helpful. I had a big job interview in a big TV station in a bigger market where I was living, and had the phone interview. And that was great. And they said, if you're one of the finalists, we'll fly you down and we'll call you in a week. And hung up the phone, and the phone rang back the next day. And they said, you know, we were hedging our bet a little bit. You are the finalist, and we want to meet you first, and we'd like you to fly down as soon as possible. And so I said, great, you know, we'll FedEx you the tickets. They said, I'll wear the red tie so you know what I look like when I get off the plane. And, I didn't really, I really didn't think about it. Well, I got there and they saw me, and he walked right by me and went up to the gate and asked for my name. And I said, no, that's me. That interview ended there. And it was very eye-opening that, you know, they were surprised. And so one of the references for the job called me later and said, you know, what happened? And I told him, and he said, you know, John, you make a joke and you make light of who you are, and it makes people very comfortable. And, you know, have you ever thought about on the phone call just saying something so that they know you're not uncomfortable? And I hadn't thought about it, but I wanted that job in the worst way, and I realized, you know, I made a mistake. Yeah, in a perfect world, the world around us would be more accepting, but I have to take responsibility for how people see me as much as they do. And so that was the moment that I realized, you know what, it's okay for me to disclose, it's okay for me to ask for accommodation, it's okay for me to have a conversation about who I am and where people are. You know, maybe it's not exactly politically correct, but if I want to be part of the equation, I need to be able to and be willing to ask and answer those questions.
Oh, I am going to be laughing about that for days. I'll be the guy wearing the red tie.
Yep.
Nothing about in the wheelchair with no limbs. I'll be wearing a red tie.
Exactly.
And then when you said that the interview ended there, I felt like nauseous to my stomach. Like, boy. But this is the reality of people with, especially with severe disabilities, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I understand that.
And I've been to interviews where, like, you know, 80% of the questions were centered around, well, how many days will you miss? And this and that. And can you do this? And I knew when I walked out of there, it's like, yeah, they're smiling and shaking my hand, but this will be the last I hear from them.
Yep. And it's, we've all gone through it. You know, unfortunately, we'll continue to go through it at times. Doesn't make it easier. But, you know, the more this is my personal mission. I mean, the more I can talk about it, you know, then maybe other people will understand what we're going through.
So true. People will not even realize some of the things that we go through. And being in a wheelchair even, they don't realize a lot of things that people have to deal with and challenges they have. And so that's a tremendous mission. But also to let people know that okay, sad at first. Yes, you know you have this disability, but not the end of the world. You can still do pretty well everything you want to do in your life. You may have to try harder. You may have to wait longer. You may have to find the exact great opportunity with a company with the right type of people. But don't let it make you sit at home and go on disability and say you can't get a job.
Yep, absolutely.
And so, yeah, just keep persisting, keep plugging along. Someone at some point is going to say, hey, I want to give this guy a chance. I know people who have disabilities, they do great jobs, and so this guy is a great guy. And he could be an inspiration to my entire staff.
And that is exactly why, you know, I started this company, because, you know, all too often you see people in media caricatures of other people with disabilities. You don't get, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing having actors on Glee with disabilities. I think that's great, but that isn't real life. And I think there are times when kids need to see themselves or models or role models that have disabilities like themselves. And, you know, they're going to look online. They're going to search the internet. And so we very systematically are putting together a library of people with disabilities up on our website, connecting them with businesses, trying to get the conversation to be about employment and education, not about, you know, being that one actor in a million that happens to make it to Glee. And
yeah,
it's got to be about education and employment. And so that's what we're doing with our ability. We've got job postings on the website. I urge people to call about them. We've got video stories to check out. So we care very deeply about education and employment.
Amen. And companies, like, come on, if you're an enlightened company in this day and age, please get in touch with you guys and give someone a chance. Advertise jobs. You may be doing an amazing thing not only for that person, but for your entire staff. It sends an amazing message to people. And imagine if you worked at a company. I think anybody who worked there, if they started to complain about something, they might just be like, all right, I don't really need that extra 15 minutes for lunch or whatever the silly complaint was, right?
Right, exactly.
And so it's a message to fellow employees as well that, come on, before you start complaining, let's go walk over to John's desk over here and see what he has to say about that.
And I've heard that, both from management, but also from peers, that, you know, they learn a lot. And it, you know, you have to be in a very comfortable position to talk about that. But, you know, you do realize that it makes for a more inclusive society when we have other people around us. And that includes work, that includes education, includes families. And, you know, people with disabilities are in the workforce and certainly in higher management are still not as prevalent. So it does make it more interesting, more inclusive when you do include, and that's what's important.
Yeah, not just give them a job, give them an opportunity to grow and advance. Giving them a job is nice, but if they have the same talent and ability to inspire, motivate, encourage, and get results from people, give them the chance for that too.
Yep, exactly.
Now, are you stubborn like myself? Because I remember one of the stories I love to tell is that in high school, one of my sister's friends said, well, looks like Tom has a hard time getting up and down those stairs. Should I offer to help him? And my sister said, please don't, because he'll go back up and come down the stairs by himself just to show you that he can do it. So you're actually creating more work for him. And that's kind of, for a long time, how I lived my life. But now I realize that when you deprive someone who wants to help you of the ability to help you, you're not doing a great favor to yourself or to them. People love to help people. And if they take the time and effort to offer, accept it. It's not admitting any weakness to accept help from someone when you have a disability.
Yeah, I think it's, again, it's another, it takes time for people to realize it. It took time for me to realize it, that there's a line between helping and asking for help, but being ready to ask for help. I mean, you know, you get more comfortable as life goes on, so you're willing to ask somebody in the grocery store for help with a cereal box that you can't reach. You know, when you're 20, you are more stubborn, and you want to find your own independence and do everything on your own. You know, I am stubborn. It has helped me a great deal in my independence. I have mellowed out a little bit in my middle age, and I'm also proud of that too. I don't always need to be as grumpy about everything, but that stubbornness has absolutely served me well, and you know, it's
exactly.
Can't overlook.
It serves us well. It serves us well. But as you say, as you mellow out a little bit, and you know that when you're comfortable with yourself, that I can do whatever I want. I could reach that cereal box if I thought of 9 creative ways. But hey, come on. Now, what I did tell in a recent seminar was that, I need help reaching things like that. And so if a 6'2", 240-pound guy comes down the aisle, I'll let him pass until some good-looking woman comes down the aisle. Then I ask her to reach the cereal box. So you can even have fun with some of these disabilities. Even at the gym, I need help, you know, reaching things, cables and bars, and can you pick that up and put that there? And, you know, if I have a choice, some hulking bodybuilder or some very cute-looking woman, hey, I'm a guy. I'm going to let the woman help me out. So you can even have some fun with it and make a little game out of it yourself as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I do.
Exactly. Now, tell me about Our Ability. What a tremendous organization. We spoke about a few of the things you're doing is working with companies and potential employees, people with disabilities to help them get work. But your message is more than just that, isn't it?
It is. We everything we're trying to do is to talk and tell stories about people with disabilities. So knowing full well that, like I said before, kids, young adults are going to look online for these stories. If we can create an online library of stories, both on video and in writing, of people with disabilities, then off of that we can do so many things. One of the things that we can do is we can meet great people with disabilities that want to share. So we went to the Paralympics in London. We met some great athletes. We're going to continue to tell stories. The second thing that we can do is we can meet businesses. And we meet businesses both because I get hired to speak. I get sponsored by certain companies like Merck, pharmaceutical company, and Cargill, the agriculture company, internationally. But I get to meet some great businesses. And so because I get to meet people with disabilities and businesses, I can help connect them as well.
Mm-hmm.
The speaking is a great way for us to raise awareness about Our Ability and to find new people and share our story. So that the speaking and off of that is human resource training and education training and building education curriculum. You know, we meet so many wonderful people that I believe it helps. You know, to pay the bills, the speaking doesn't pay the bills 100%, so we have to produce video stories, and we get hired very often to produce video stories similar to what we're producing now. So we produce stories about people with disabilities. We produce video testimonials that companies can use online. You know, we'll produce YouTube videos, but we do a lot of work in video production. And any profit that we make in our video production side of things, we turn back into working with people with disabilities. So it is all about that. And then ultimately, you know, we hope we have a great online community and that continues to grow as well. So
so valuable to have that online community, because you're around likely the same age as I am. And when we were born, how do you find someone with a challenge similar to yours that you can use as a mentor or to encourage you or to inspire you or to teach you? Back then, you had to hope that your doctor knew of someone similar to you. But now we can go online and we can find stories of people that, like, blow us away, inspire us, encourage us, similar to us. And that is a tremendous hope for people, isn't it, to be able to find people like themselves where they can say, okay, if he can do it, I can do it for sure.
And that's exactly right. I mean, I had no role model growing up at all and with a physical disability, and never even knew that there was such a thing out there. And so it was a realization that I think the world needs this. I don't have to be the one to do it, but I'm happy to be doing it, and I hope that it helps. And so that is the goal of what we're doing.
That is an amazing way to help. I'm well known for not complaining, and one of the reasons is I think of complaining to someone like yourself or someone in a third world country, and I think they're going to think I'm pretty nutty to be complaining about this. I think John wouldn't mind having a sore knee or a sore shoulder or a sore anything else like that.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
And so, yes, and then also complaining doesn't really help, because I can complain about pain every single day, but eventually people are going to tune me out and they can't do anything about it. So complaining to someone who can't do anything to help you is wasting your time and annoying the heck out of them eventually, I imagine.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
And so important that people contact you, and that you, as you said, you see handicapped people all the time, and so encouraging them to share their story also gives them a kind of a purpose as well, because now they're like, well, geez, I'm on John's website saying about how inspiring and motivating and positive I am. I have to live up to this for people who are seeking me out for as a means of finding out that I can do whatever I want, or that I'm not the only person. And so it makes that person hold their head up a little higher who you're featuring on your website, and kind of makes them probably push a little harder to get the results so that they can inspire other people similar to them.
I hope so. I mean, I hope, and I've heard from some wonderful people, but that they want to share their success. They want to mentor other people. And that is so gratifying when you realize that other people get it and want to do that.
Yeah. And what a tremendous gift for someone being mentored or encouraged by someone similar to them. And it's so easy to do that in this day and age of the internet. And so what a tremendous ministry, blessing. Now, you've mentioned blessing a few times. I've had some fairly severe conversations with God, and yet at the same time, I'm always very, very thankful and grateful and blessed, because I have so many advantages that other people don't have. And you've probably had some of these conversations with him yourself. I've even told people, when I get up to heaven, I'm going to have a talk with him, see what this is all about. That doesn't really serve me any purpose. And none of us are exempt because we're kinder or nicer or our families are better off. None of us are exempt from suffering. And we all will, in some way, form, or shape, endure some suffering in our life. Some may label it worse. Ooh, John's is worse than I could ever put up with. But we're not exempt from it. And saying, why me? It's not going to give you any resourceful answers.
No, it isn't. And it is something you need to come to. I mean, it's a very personal thing, but it is... it is a conversation that I had in my head for a long time, and I'll tell you why. My father was an Episcopal priest, Anglican priest, and so, you know, every kid wants to spend time with his parents at times, and the way for me to do it was to, you know, drive to and from church, and so I spent that time with him and thinking and praying, I guess, in my own way and considering questions. And, you know, early on, you know, as a kid, the questions are, you know, why did the Boston Bruins lose this week, or, you know, why did the Pittsburgh Steelers lose? And, you know, my dad would say, hey, listen, you know, God loves you, loves all people equally. He doesn't care about, you know, the Bruins losing to Montreal or whatever.
Yes.
And, okay, so that's
which
a childhood lesson.
They
did, unfortunately. That's a childhood lesson, but it has very real ramifications going forward, which means, you know, bad things do happen to good people.
Yep.
But you have to look for the opportunity inside it. And so, you know, I'm blessed with what I have. I had to see it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it took a lifetime of circumstances to be able to see that.
Yes, and there must have been some kind of closeness between you and your dad to talk about some of these things that probably even he had to search in the back of his brain for, how do I answer this question? Because I don't even know myself.
Yes, and you know, as I said before, you can only imagine how hard it must have been.
Yeah.
But, my parents were great. We had an open dialogue about a lot of things. It wasn't always the topic of conversation, though, and that's a good thing. I mean,
yeah,
you know, kids want other things from their parents too, and but when there were times that, you know, we did talk about stuff like this, like myself, it was always an honest conversation and one that was needed on both parties.
Yeah, and I remember some of the fondest moments with my parents were when they had to tell me that, well, you can't play hockey anymore, and, well, you can't play baseball anymore. And really tough discussions, a lot of crying on my end, probably some on theirs afterwards. But in the end, those discussions were ones I really remember, I know, a lot from my heart, that tough for them, tough for me, but nice that we could sit down and explore those issues that were really disheartening for us, weren't they?
Sure, they absolutely are.
And so, wow. Now, what do you got coming up that people can get involved in, help you with? How can we help you advance our ability? Because this needs to be worldwide, international, widely known work that you're doing.
Well, that's flattering, and thank you. I certainly that there's two ways, Tom. The first way is, if you are a person with a disability, or you're a parent of a person with a disability, you know, we want to not only know you to whatever degree you're willing to be known, but sign up with us, join online, email us, share your story, send your resume. You know, let us know who you are, because the more people that are willing to tell their stories on camera or in writing, the more other people can be helped. So that's first and foremost. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're stronger if we're a community. And it's regardless of ability. It's not just for amputees. It's not just for people in a chair. It's for everybody. So please, we'd love you to surf our website and get connected and join our community. The greater request is this, and you had said it already, if you're a business, if you're a government agency, if you're an organization that either serves people towards employment or education or works with people with disabilities, we want to work with you. We want to, you know, help with human resources if you're a business, speak, workshops, whatever it is. We want to produce video stories. You know, we want to keep up the work. And we all work hard at it, but we would like to continue to work hard at it. And so, you know, the request is, as maybe more advanced for businesses, but both requests are very important.
And even if businesses just open a dialogue with you, they don't assume from the start whether you can help or hire or not hire, but at least open the discussion to see and discover, if you're a company, what can I do? What is possible? How can I help? And so at least open a discussion to see how you can help as individuals, as a company, as employees, to hire people with disabilities.
Agreed. And we've had some wonderful discussions with businesses that don't want to work with us yet, but we know they will in the future. And we've had wonderful relationships with businesses that are working with us. Same token with people. I've had wonderful personal experiences with people that want to stay private and yet are supportive of what we're doing, and then others that you can see on our website that have been very public about letting us profile them. So it's different for each. We don't demand anything from anybody. We would just like to create good relationships.
Exactly, and it can enlighten companies, even if they're not able to participate or help, knowing what challenges and what possibilities there are certainly helps everybody involved, doesn't it?
Yes.
Wow. Thank you so much today, John. I'm inspired. I'm touched. Many people will be. I am going to be telling people about the red tie thing, and I've already told anybody who walks by me today at the office that this guy has no arms and legs, and it doesn't even mention it in his bio. Like, come on. So,
well, Tom, I appreciate that very much, and maybe we'll see each other in Toronto sometime soon.
Oh, if you come here and you don't call me, I'm going to kick you between the pockets, or I can beat you up.
That's all right.
So, wow, what a tremendous conversation, John. You have a mission that's going to impact thousands of people, and it's going to grow around the world because it doesn't matter where you are, what country you are. If you're an employer or a company, you need to know these messages, and no matter where you are and you have a handicap, you need to know of other people who are in a similar boat to you and who can inspire and encourage you to do the best you can with what you got.
I appreciate that.
Have an amazing day. I'm going to make sure on my website everybody is told to purchase a few copies of your book, one for themselves and one for gifts for others. And I'll be following the work you do. I did a web page, created a web page about your story on the rugby player from the Paralympics. Also, had no arms or legs, and he loved enjoying bashing people around and getting violent in the rugby. And what a tremendous story of an amazing man as well.
Well, thank you, and thank you for what you're doing. This is equally important, and I appreciate what you're doing. Thank you.
Have an amazing day, John. I will not forget this for some time.
You too, Tom.
Take care.